Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my pleas for mercy.
In your faithfulness, answer me, in your righteousness.
Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my pleas for mercy.
In your faithfulness, answer me, in your righteousness.
Enter not into judgment with your servant.
For no unliving is righteous before you.
For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground.
He has made me sit in darkness like those long
dead. Therefore my spirit faints within me.
My heart within me is appalled.
I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done.
I ponder the work of your hands.
I stretch out my hands to you.
My soul thirsts for you. Like a
answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails.
Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit.
Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust.
Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul.
Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord.
I have fled to you for refuge.
Teach me to do your will, for you are my God.
Let your good spirit lead me on level.
For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life.
In your righteousness, free my soul out of trouble.
And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies.
And you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my pleas for mercy.
In your faithfulness, answer me, in your righteousness.
from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. And as they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him." "He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them ran at once and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs, after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly this was the Son of God." There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting the guard.
O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord my God.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Please join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you may know, in our 5 midweek Lenten Vespers services this year, we are hearing St. Matthew's account of Jesus' passion, and we are reflecting on an arguable example of prophecies being fulfilled in each of the 5 location portions of that passion account that we hear over these 5 services. Each example of prophecy and its fulfillment reiterates for us God's will and work to save us sinners who are sorry for our sin and trust God to forgive our sin by grace for Jesus' sake. 4 weeks ago, we considered how in the upper room, Jesus seemed to speak about his, in some sense, actively fulfilling Psalm 41, verse 9, about the one who ate his breads, lifting his heel against him. 3 weeks ago, we considered how on the way to Gethsemane, Jesus spoke about... Jesus spoke about his and the disciples, in some sense, passively fulfilling Zechariah 13, about the Lord of hosts striking the shepherd and thereby scattering the sheep of the flock. 2 weeks ago, we considered how at the palace of the high priest, Peter actively fulfilled Matthew 26, verse 34, about his denying Jesus 3 times before the rooster crowed. 1 week ago, we considered how in connection with the praetorium, the Jewish leaders actively fulfilled verses from Jeremiah and Zechariah about their taking the 30 pieces of silver that they had originally given to Judas to betray Jesus and then giving them for the potter's field. And this week, we consider how, in connection with Calvary, at least Joseph of Arimathea actively fulfills Isaiah 53, verse 9, about making Jesus' grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. Though Jesus had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. As was the case 2 weeks ago, you might object. In this case, saying to me, wait a minute, Pastor, tonight's reading of St. Matthew's account of Jesus' passion does not say that Joseph of Arimathea fulfilled prophecy about Jesus' burial. And of course, you were right. Rather, the divinely inspired St. Matthew seems to imply that Isaiah 53:9's prophecy about Jesus being buried with the rich is fulfilled. While all 4 gospel accounts report Jesus' burial, none of the other 3 gospel accounts, but only St. Matthew's account, explicitly mentions Joseph of Arimathea's being rich. And earlier in his account, St. Matthew says that Jesus is casting out demons and healing the sick, fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 53:4, a few verses earlier, in the same section of Isaiah's prophecy about the suffering servant. In describing St. Matthew's statements about prophecies being fulfilled, one New Testament commentator says both that at first St. Matthew gave many examples of prophecy and its fulfillment in order to establish the account's emphasis on prophecy fulfilled. And then later, St. Matthew gave fewer examples in order to remind his hearers or readers of the account's emphasis on prophecy fulfilled. And that same New Testament commentator says that in some cases, St. Matthew may only allude to familiar prophecy, as in tonight's reading, St. Matthew arguably only alludes to prophecy, familiar or not. One Old Testament commentator goes so far as to say both that understanding the prophecy of Isaiah 53:9 without the gospel account of its fulfillment is impossible, and that the prophetic words of the gospel history have an agreement with that prophecy that could only be the work of the God of both the prophecy and the fulfillment. Works of art, such as Michelangelo's Madonna della Pietà, or Our Lady of Pity, sculpted for St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City, often depict the Virgin Mary cradling Jesus's body after he was taken down from the cross. But such works of art have no direct basis in Holy Scripture. Rather, the Apostle John is thought to have taken the Virgin Mary to his own home already before Jesus died. And tonight's reading tells us that Joseph of Arimathea asked for and received the body of Jesus, took it and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud, and laid it in his own new tomb. The other gospel accounts describe Joseph of Arimathea as a respected member of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin, and say that he was a good and righteous man who had not consented to the Sanhedrin's decision and action against Jesus, but was looking for the kingdom of God and was a disciple of Jesus, though secretly, for fear of the Jewish leaders. Similarly, the other gospel accounts tell us that Nicodemus, a Pharisee and ruler of the Jews, who came to Jesus by night and who later spoke on Jesus' behalf, brought 75 pounds of spices and worked with Joseph of Arimathea in order to put Jesus' body in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. In this past Sunday's hymn of the day, My Song is Love Unknown, we sang both that Jesus' tomb was what a stranger gave and that ours was the tomb wherein Jesus lay. Poetic license that is said to dramatically collapse the historical with the personal. From Joseph of Arimathea through the hymn's author, Samuel Crossman, down to us. To be sure, on account of both our original and our actual sin, we deserve death and the tomb, not to mention eternal torment in hell. If you know Isaiah's suffering servant song, you know that this prophecy connecting Jesus' grave with a rich man is in a context that describes all of us going astray like sheep, turning every one to his own way. and the suffering servants being stricken for our transgression, but also seeing his offspring and prolonging his days after making an offering for guilt, so that we can benefit from that offering. The Holy Spirit calls and thereby enables us to turn in sorrow from our sin and to trust God to forgive our sin for Jesus' sake. As we prayed in tonight's psalm, the Lord hears our prayer, gives ear to our pleas for mercy, and he answers us in his faithfulness and righteousness. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus actively may have laid Jesus in the tomb, but Jesus passively suffered that burial only because he, the Son of God in human flesh, actively permitted himself to be crucified, all out of God's great love for us. God's prophecy through Isaiah about his suffering servant son is sometimes taken narrowly as indicating only the company in which Jesus suffered and died. But the prophecy also seems to indicate that Jesus probably otherwise would have been left unburied, or would have been buried with the wicked in some dishonorable place if Joseph of Arimathea had not intervened. Though, in the end, the two criminals hardly seem to have been buried with Jesus. Although relatives and friends could ask for the bodies of those who had been crucified, Joseph of Arimathea's request of Pontius Pilate is said to have been risky because Jesus was executed for treason. But Pilate's granting Joseph's request is said to show Pilate's belief in Jesus' innocence. If not the cause of his burial in connection with the rich man, Jesus' innocence at least was prophesied through Isaiah's words that the servant had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Jesus' innocence was necessary in order for him to be our substitute in his sacrifice for our sin. Jesus' burial set the stage for his resurrection that soon followed. Jesus' tomb was full for parts of 3 days and then empty. His resurrection's showing that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. So when we repent and believe, then God forgives us for Jesus' sake, giving us peace and joy. God forgives us, of course, through his means of grace, his word and sacraments. Some people want to go and do go to modern-day Israel in order to visit what they think are the sites of Jesus' crucifixion and nearby burial. There is debate over both the traditional site, where the Church of the Holy Sepulchre more or less has been since the 4th century, and the so-called Garden Tomb, which was unearthed in the 19th century. Though the real Calvary and tomb could have been someplace else altogether. Regardless of where the real tomb is, it is empty, of course, so you would not find Jesus there, nor would you find him at Calvary on the cross if you could locate it. By the way, since Jesus was taken down from the cross dead, an empty cross by itself is not necessarily a reminder of his resurrection. While a crucifix with Christ's corpus or body on it is by itself a reminder of Jesus' incarnation and death for us.
we seek and receive the benefits of Jesus' incarnation and death for our sins, not by going to the cross or to the tomb, but from his read and preached word and from his gospel applied to individuals with water in holy baptism, with touch in holy absolution, and with the bread and wine that are the body and blood of Christ in the Holy Supper. Jesus, who once was crucified, died and was buried, descended into hell, rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father, and is still present with his church in all of these ways in order to forgive our sin and preserve us until our deaths and burials or until his coming again in glory, whichever comes first. As Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus buried Jesus' body, even seemingly lacking faith in him, we do well to bury the bodies of our loved ones, all the more since we have faith in him. We believe that by his 3-day rest in the tomb, Jesus hallowed or sanctified or made holy the graves of all who believe in him. We might rest in peace in our graves for longer than parts of 3 days, but we will not be there forever. The resurrection of the body will come and bring with it the blessed reunion of believers in heaven. Tonight we have considered St. Matthew's account of Jesus' passions, fulfilling specifically the prophecy of Isaiah 53, verse 9. All 5 examples of prophecy fulfilled that we have considered these 5 weeks have been variously expressed by the divinely inspired St. Matthew, and all 5 examples ultimately have related to us. As Jesus generalized elsewhere, what is written in the scriptures that must be fulfilled is both that he should suffer and on the 3rd day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. So repentance and forgiveness has been proclaimed to us. May God use us likewise to proclaim to others. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Before you as incense,
and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowliest thing his handmaiden. For behold, from this day all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things to me, and holy is his name. Generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let my prayer rise before you as incense.
Amen.
You may be seated. Please stand.
And from rebellion.
Lord, deliver us.
From lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial,
help us, O Lord.
By your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter,
help us, O Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment,
help us, O Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To raise those who fall, and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, according to our sins.
Do not reward us according to our iniquities.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we turn from our evil ways and live. Graciously spare us those punishments which we by our sin have deserved, and grant us always to serve you in holiness and pureness of living. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Comfort her with the assurance of God's grace and mercy for her, and
for her father, to the extent that he was a believer, and to look forward to that blessed reunion in heaven that we talked about. That last hymn was a favorite of my mother's, and so she and I sing it regularly. But now sort of the enduring memory that's attached to it for me is when we had Elfrida's funeral here a couple of years ago. Many of you maybe didn't know her. She had come a few times and then was sort of homebound. But when we did have the funeral, she had her German club, and the ladies were here and we sang some of it in German. Yeah, and so that was a unique experience. It's a beloved hymn among people from Germany, and certainly beloved by others outside of Germany, for that matter. So, thank you to Ellen for the meal this evening, and to everybody who provided a meal these last 5 weeks. And next week, of course, Maundy Thursday at 7, Good Friday at 7, and then this coming Sunday, Palm Sunday, we'll plan to start outside, weather permitting, with palm branches, if you're able to gather outside, and then the following Sunday, Easter Sunday, breakfast at 8, egg hunt at 9, Bible class at 9:30 with Sunday school, and divine service at 10:45. Any other announcements? This Sunday is Palm Sunday. Tomorrow, 9 o'clock, Max, thank you for reminding me. Encourage all of you who can come to come. Some of the circuit pastors who will be here may not know the litany as well as you do, and so it will be helpful to have some voices who sing it regularly. Yes. Or Max, for that matter. It would be good to have regular members. It is a public service of the congregation, so it is not just intended for the circuit pastors, although some of them will be here. And then we thank in advance Debbie and others who are providing food. Debbie's kind of coordinating that. Our seal dropped her takeoff today. We will appreciate that tomorrow as well. Other announcements? All right. Before I read you all the way.